Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Here's a 2-2 pitch, and he swings. It's a high fly ball, left field, pretty well. Back to the warning track. Verdugo by the fence, and this ball is gone. Raffy Devers has given the Red Sox a 1-0 lead.
Tell you what, a lot of Yankee fans would tell you, just walk them. I mean, why even deal with them?
Stop pitching to Devers, bro! Just stop!
Swing, there's a shot to center field, crushed high and deep, and this ball is long gone. What a shot by Raffy, his second home run of the day. It's 3-0 Red Sox.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of watching the same f***ing ball go over the same f***ing fence, bro.
He's got nothing to get Devers out on. Nothing.
It's almost like the whole world, including Ryan Garvin with his plus 1,800 over the weekend for Rafael Devers, it's almost like the whole world, except for Aaron Boone, knows not to pitch to Rafael Devers in Yankee Stadium. And yet they continue to do it. Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. They've won 16 out of 22. They're a game and a half up for the final wild card spot in the American League. They're a game and a half out of the second wild card spot. They're playing well. They have 3 all-stars. And yet we're back here asking the same question, Mego. Is ownership going to invest? What's Craig Breslow going to do? What's the holdup? Why don't we trust them? Why won't they pay Alex Cora? Bottom line, though, great potentially season-turning weekend for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I do think that this is the biggest series since that little streak when they were playing the Phillies. And it feels like the whole season turned then. I know you were way ahead of this, Jones.
I was.
From day one, you had your pink hat, you had your bosomy blouse in Fenway Park. You were ready to go for this team.
Correct.
But I do think that since that mark, they've really found something. Like, they have their identity. I know that they're waiting on Tristan Casas coming back. I'm not sure if we can buy into Yoshida having found anything for real. But I do think that this is a team that is securely in this wild card range right now. And it's just a matter of what ownership does for them at the trade deadline for how far they can go in the future.
Yeah. So look, we're going to get into what Buster Olney had to say last night, which is very interesting on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll get into Craig Breslow, who was interviewed leading into Sunday Night Baseball. We'll get into a lot of the events from the weekend. Again, Red Sox having 3 homegrown players named to the All-Star game.
We'll get to the game on Friday night, which I do think was the win of the year. And you guys can jump in here on Jones and Mego. No Arcan today. It's the day after a holiday weekend. You expect him to show up? After Red Sox Yankees, you expect him to show up the day after a holiday weekend?
I can't talk because I may vanish for a little bit. I'm going to be serving a long suspension coming up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I won't be around.
I can't
like throw stones when I'm about to go into a giant glass house.
I was trying to bait you to do that, but okay, yeah. Fine. You don't have to. You were here on July 5th.
I was
the only one here on July 5th.
Impressive. Yeah, it was very Catholic of me. It was my penance for what I knew what's coming down the pipeline, which is me vanishing.
And so you're here as well today. Arcan is not with us. We'll get to your phone call. 617-779-7937.
Now it feels like he's here.
Hello?
Our baseball coverage on WEEI, by the way, is presented by T-Mobile. You can switch to T-Mobile and get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out at T-Mobile.com/switch. Big question of the day, Mego. Our big cue at 2 up now at Jones and Mego. How far can the Red Sox go this year? Have we asked this before? I don't know that we've asked it quite this way.
We talked about win totals.
Yep. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
How about this?
They're sitting here with, what, a 48% chance of playoffs, according to Fangraphs, Alex Cora's favorite site in the whole world.
So I like to phrase that as they're at almost 50%. It's a coin flip, basically, if they're going to make the playoffs or not. They're in the number 3 wild card spot. They're fighting with the likes of the Royals, the Twins. I mean, I'd be a little afraid of the Astros. I read today the Rangers might be selling. And so I think there's a real pathway for them, not just to make the playoffs, but to make noise. So here's our big question of the day. How far can the Red Sox get this year? And I don't think we've asked this. World Series is an option. ALCS, ALDS. Wild card, or they're not going anywhere. Your vote, Mego.
I said ALDS, and we didn't have enough options that we could split up those two. They don't feel like an ALCS contender to me, but ALDS, you name the teams that are around them right now, and I know that in years past, we've sat here and seen them play pretty good baseball at this point in the calendar, and then it's like a bomb goes off at the trade deadline because either guys are moving out or they basically stand pat, but it's... What's different to me about this group is they're young, dumb, and full of energy. And they don't know what they don't know. That's what you keep hearing Alex Cora saying. And I think that that can really work to your benefit. Now, some of that comes into Alex Cora's control, where he has to keep a certain attitude no matter what happens at the trade deadline. Of course, ownership should invest. Everybody who's watched a minute, an inning of this baseball team over the last 3 weeks knows that ownership should buy something, should buy an arm at the deadline. Everybody, that's not even up for debate to me anymore. But you can probably stand pat, and this team is young and inexperienced and happy-go-lucky. And if Alex Cora can maintain what they have going now and have Tristan Casas come back and maybe continue piecing some stuff together in this identity, I still think that they can go to get through the wild card. Like, I think that they should be a wild card team, and once they're there, the other teams around them just don't scare me that much. Now, when you get to, like, the Orioles, and I know, like, I sound like a Marylander there.
Yeah, you do.
But these teams at the top of your division, at the top of the conference, that's scary to me. But it is a big deal also that the Yankees are in a free fall. So to me, ALDS team. ALDS team.
That represents movement for you, by the way. Like,
yes,
you did not
absolutely
have them as a playoff team. That represents movement.
Yeah, because I've been watching the team over the past several weeks, and they look like a different team. And they're beating good teams, and they're winning series against good teams. It's like, I don't know what Alex Cora said to them after that dreadful White Sox trip, but they're a different team now. And I do believe in that, as long as Alex Cora can keep that message going.
Yep. So you can vote again at Jones and Mego. How far can the Red Sox get this year? If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, just hang on. I'm going to make a move here for a second, if you don't mind. I'm just going to put on this piece of attire, which is known as a pink hat. I think they can go to the World Series. I think this team can go to the World Series. We saw the Arizona Diamondbacks do it last year. Thank you. We saw the Texas Rangers do it a year ago. Teams come out of nowhere in Major League Baseball, meaning the wild card spot, and can go on a run. I don't know why this team can't. And I don't want them to justify Casas returning. Like, I'm already seeing this on the text line, 37937. I don't want to justify the Casas return as a reason not to make moves, okay? They should make moves. They better make moves. Even fake buying, meaning, like, adding some players who probably don't matter, I'm starting to come around on. Even fake buy. But Cassis' return is a real, potentially significant thing. It is. So how far can they get this season? World Series. This team is capable of doing that. They have as many All-Stars as your Baltimore Orioles, Mego. They have as many All-Stars as the Yankees.
It's a criminal, by the way.
They don't have as many as Philadelphia or L.A. or some of those other teams. This team could do it. And so, look, call me a Pink Hat fan if you want. That's fine. I've been on the bandwagon since game one, just FYI. I think everybody who's now buying in on the team, not just you, Mego, there's a lot of people like
this. No, I mocked you after game one because I still feel like that was a crazy take. But it's better to be extremely early than extremely late.
No, I agree. And so everybody who's buying in now, you're the actual Pink Hats, just FYI. Everybody who's just starting to buy in, actual Pink Hats for this team. But I'll wear my Pink Hat. I bought it on the first homestand. I have it. I might as well wear it. I say World Series. And you know why? I think Buster Olney highlights some of it in his maddening, and this was a maddening answer last night on Sunday Night Baseball. Here's Buster Olney discussing the Red Sox and what he's hearing. This is a guy who's plugged in. What he's hearing the Red Sox may do at the trade deadline.
Buster, you got a gut feeling what other organizations are saying about Boston's plans?
That right now they're non-committal about whether or not they're going to be buyers or sellers. Starting the day, the Red Sox, according to Fangraphs, have a 43% chance to make the playoffs. And as you know, Carl, those metrics can sometimes dictate what teams do. But to this point, the Red Sox haven't said hard that, yes, we're going to go out and be adding before the trade deadline, which is interesting because last year we saw the Rangers and Diamondbacks vault from the wild card spots into the World Series.
Exactly.
And it does feel like, Carl, an important trade deadline because you have a fan base that has been unhappy with the Red Sox ownership. And, you know, will that come into account? Has the Red Sox made a decision whether to buy or sell? We'll just have to see.
Take a guess!
I mean, seriously. So the exact justification that Buster Olney gives there is the exact reason why I think they're capable of going on a run. Look at these teams that have come out of nowhere, gone to a World Series, won a World Series from the wild card position. It happens constantly now. So they can get to a World Series. And I'm not even sure they need to add to go on a run. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. They've been great since the start of June. The Yankees are floundering, as you said. Intern Jacob tried to turn me on to this a few weeks ago, that the Yankees suck. They kind of suck right now. And so I don't see, maybe save for Baltimore, a real, like, formidable team in the American League that
Baltimore
I'm afraid of.
Baltimore is still so young.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know if it's just Baltimore and everybody else is kind of on a similar playing field. I like their chances to go on a run. Now, I'd feel even better if I thought ownership was committed. What did you think of that answer from Olney?
I hated it. When I was watching it live last night, and I messaged you almost instantly when I found it on Twitter, because I'm like, why are they even saying selling? Why is that even part of the debate? It should be, I could almost understand and expect if they took it to the level of they're going to stand pat or they're going to buy. Like, it's going to be one of those two. They're going to just stand there and go, oh, we're getting Tristan Cassis back. Aren't you excited about that? Oh, like, look what we're figuring out with Wink. And they do all this dumb explanations that way. But why is selling even in the vocabulary? Like, what more do you want this team to show you right now? Because they can't go back to stuff, dumb stuff that they did in April in the White Sox series, and they can't go back and change that. And this is who they are right now. And I think it's gone on long enough. They've won enough series against good to very good teams to prove to you that it's a sustainable thing that you need to add to. So what irritated me about that was that it was even a conversation of, oh, they don't know if they're buying or selling. And also that it's unclear. I'm like, is anybody even communicating this from ownership? That's what else jumped out to me, because we're so far past the point of, like, is Breslow going to do anything? Breslow is probably waiting for the budget to come through on
100%.
Like some fax from 1998 from some yacht somewhere. Like, I don't like that answer at all, because I would like the stakes to be different than we're even still talking about the possibility that they would sell.
How? Right now, they're non-committal about whether or not they're going to be buyers or
like
sellers.
Like, non-committal, or they're not even communicating?
Yeah, so I think they are. They know what they want to do. They just don't want to verbalize it. They want to sell. They want to sell, but they know it's unpopular to say we're going to sell, so we get non-committal. And so, yeah, that's embarrassing. It's unconscionable. You can't do that if you're the Red Sox. And so I'm starting to warm up to the idea of fake buying, Mego, as I said.
So what's a fake buy?
Like, a fake buy would be, we need a relief arm. We're going to go get some, like, bum-ass player you've never heard of.
Fudge?
Yeah, exactly, right? Davis, was that his name a few years ago?
Austin Davis and Hansel Robles.
Okay, but I think some years they've done what I would consider fake buying, right? I even thought Schwarber was kind of a fake buy at the time.
They probably thought he was, too, and then they tripped into success.
I kind of thought Steve Pierce was a fake buy at the time. Hansel Robles was pretty good in that run in 2021. It all fell apart real quick, but he was pretty good. And so as long as they're adding, even if they're underwhelming players, I'm starting to warm to that. They cannot sell. We've been talking about this for a while. They cannot, with good conscience, from a playoff spot, sell. And Mego said this. Buster Olney's numbers were a little out of date. It was entering that game last night, 43.5% or whatever for the playoff odds at Fangraphs, which we know Alex Cora hates. We'll play that for you later in the show. If you missed any of our interview with him last week, you can check it out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. You can go see it on YouTube as well. Subscribe to WEEI.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Alex. Go subscribe to WEEI. You can see it there. We'll play the clip for you later on if you missed it. Not a fan of those playoff odds. It's basically a coin flip. They're up to 50%. They were like down at 30% a couple of weeks ago. So the team is on a run. You can manipulate those odds by adding. Never mind getting a player like Tristan Casas back. So I'm with you. That's an embarrassing answer. And I think it tells you the real answer, which is they want to sell, but they know that's unpopular and they can't say it. So you can vote. Big question of the day. Jones and Mego on Twitter. How far can the Red Sox get this year? I say World Series. Mego says ALDS. You can vote for the championship series, the wild card, or they're not going anywhere. Again, that's up on Twitter. You can also dial us up at 617-779-7937. One more. This is from Craig Breslow, who, Mego, I'm with you, has no real power. He's just there. And so if John Henry gives him the green light to go make a move or fake buy, he'll do it. And then we'll break down the trade. If John Henry says we're not adding payroll, and my guess is they're not really going to add payroll, then he doesn't really have much to do. I don't think they're trading any significant prospects. And so here's Breslow on Sunday Night Baseball prior to first pitch last night.
So you know what it's like to be on a team where you're doing, you know, what you're supposed to be doing and think, what's the front office going to do? Is there an obligation? I mean, how do you balance that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think what I need to do is what's best for the organization. And that requires me to balance what's best for the organization today, what's best for the organization 3 months from now.
Different from the player who's like, what's best is we got to win now.
We win tonight, right. Alex and I have different jobs. The players and I have different jobs.
You must have come in here, I assume, with a plan. And here's what I got, and here's how I think this is going to play out. And I wasn't necessarily thinking I was going to have to do that, but maybe I got to reconsider some things, no?
Yeah, no, I learned, I think it was maybe day one, if not day one, definitely day two on the job, that plans are great, but the need to be flexible, to be agile, to be nimble, to react is generally, I think, what sets up people in this position to be successful. And so we're constantly trying to synthesize all of the information.
Synthesize all of the information is what we need to do.
God, he sounds so high-strung, doesn't he? He sounds nervous.
He doesn't sound like a ball player, right? Like, I know he was, and, like, I'll give him credit for that, but he doesn't sound like a ball player.
He sounds more like Alex Spear.
Yes. Yeah. He sounds like Bloom.
He sounds like he was at Harvard.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't know if it's conveyed in the audio, but there were so many edits while Carl Ravitch was asking these questions. I'm wondering if he started to ask about the plan coming in, and Brez was like, no, I can't. I can't go.
Don't you dare ask. No.
So I think they settled on something that he could
a hard edit and some stuff that had to be tabled. Okay. I mean, I hate. My job's different than the manager.
Yeah.
It's like,
kidding.
Okay, we get it. I now have to amend how I say this, Mego. I usually say no one wants the Red Sox to trade Marcelo Meyer or Kyle Teal or Roman. No one's asking for that. I actually now have to amend that. Lou Maloney is actually asking for that on his dog walk. Lou is saying, go ahead and trade those big three prospects.
Did he show the dog?
I listened to it. I was driving. I listened. I'm not sure I saw the clip, so I was listening to it. I'm not sure I saw it.
He never shows the dog. Sometimes he's just walking around, and I'm skeptical.
So now Lou is saying he's okay with trading one of those prospects. Interesting. I hadn't heard that yet. I hadn't asked for that. But trading prospects 5 through 10, 5 through 20, 5 through 30, that should be in play. That is not throwing off the future of your organization. It's not. So I hate that answer from Breslow, too. Your job, I get, is more forward-thinking, although are you telling us Cora's not a part of the future when you answer it that way? But your job really shouldn't be that different. You owe it to the guys in that clubhouse who are playing great baseball to go out and make a move. I understand it's not really his call. it's ownership's call, but I didn't like that answer either.
We got to synthesize.
Well, and he also said in there, like, you have to be able to be flexible and, you know, change as things go along. And so wouldn't this be enough? Wouldn't you have seen enough over the last several weeks to say, like, this isn't just a one great week that you had in the calendar? And so be flexible to that. What really, really worries me is that this is an ownership group who did set it and forget it. They said this is the budget for the year.
Yep.
And we don't really see much at the trade deadline. And that the best that they can do is stand pat. And that's why it scares me even more that they're still talking about selling. I'm like, really? You stole my dangle Kenley out there or somebody else? Like, that would be a disaster to
me. I mean, again, you're competing for a playoff spot with the Royals and the Twins. You should be able to outmaneuver those guys. I don't care what the odds say. You should be able to manipulate those odds against markets like Minnesota and Kansas City when you're the Boston Red Sox, and you might sell.
I know they did so well against, you know, manipulating Kansas City during the offseason, where
that's
every
true.
Player you were in on just walked right over
no, I mean,
there
right.
and is now currently dominating baseball.
If you were slightly more aggressive in the offseason, the Royals wouldn't have Seth Lugo, who's an all-star and, like, in the Cy Young mix. If you were slightly more aggressive, you could have already been in front of Kansas City, but no, you can't do that. Let's get to some phone calls here. 617-779-7937. What'd you think of the weekend? What are the Red Sox doing at the deadline? How far can they ultimately go? And has your opinion changed? It has for Mego. Let's start it off with Sorja in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones, Mego, how are you doing on this fine, very hot Monday afternoon?
Oh, we're doing well. We're doing well, Sorja. It's a little hot out there for my taste, but otherwise pretty good.
I like it.
That's great to hear. You know, hopefully you guys enjoyed the fourth. Yeah, like you guys mentioned, I mean, Yoshida with the full count homer on Friday, Devers with the homer last night at the top of the night, and then Kenley Jansen just, you know, the next Mariano Rivera, in my opinion. Like, at this point, this ownership, the Red Sox, whatever they say, they need to make some moves, right? I don't know if you guys ever heard this audio, but there was an audio between Kennedy and Curtis where Curtis asked Kennedy straight up, like, do you have a passion for this team? And Sam Kennedy got offended, and he said, of course. We're very passionate about the Red Sox. Now is the time to show it, and if no moves are made by this July 20th deadline, I have no other words to say. You saw it in 2021 where if you have a competent roster, you are able to make a deep playoff run. And let me tell you some analytics really quick because we love baseball. Friday, the Red Sox were plus 6,000 to win the World Series. So maybe I might have to hammer that.
Okay.
You guys have a great day.
Okay, plus 6,000. I took them for I saw the Twitch chat talking about this, and thank you, Sorja. Craig Breslow loves those metrics, I'm sure. We've played that Kennedy audio before, but it is certainly interesting, and there'd be a way to justify that by going out and making a move, by adding to the roster, or by signing your manager, which we're going to get to. That's another way to, like, show that you're actually committed to this team. But I'll tell you what, the Twitch chat was saying they had the over for 70-something wins, something like that. I took the Red Sox, Ryan, for 90-plus back in April at plus 6-something, 633, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I think that's down to 90-plus wins is down to, like, plus 2-something now.
It doesn't seem crazy like it would have when made that bet.
I think they're still not quite on pace for it. I did the math the other day. I think they're still not quite. They're on pace for, like, 89 and change. So I need you to pick it up a little bit, Red Sox. But I'm a believer as well, Sorja. And if you can't tell, tune into twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I got the pink hat to match because I think this team, especially with a little, minimal commitment, even fake buying from ownership, not a big financial investment, I think it's a team that can go to the playoffs, the World Series, rather. Definitely the playoffs. We've seen it from teams in this sport before. So you can jump in. Big question of the day. What do they do at the trade deadline? And also the weekend that was in New York. Did Friday night get ownership's attention? 617-779-7937. We'll get to that right after Trending with Ryan Garvin.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Adam Jones.
Ah, yeah! One of a bear did cocaine!
Megan Ottolini.
This is some sh-
Christian Arcan.
Hey, Adams has a boost that I kind of like.
This is Jones and Mecco with Arcan on WEEI.
Another payoff pitch. Eighth pitch of the at-bat. Here it is. Swing and a drive to right field deep.
No way.
Back toward the warning track, into the wall, and it is gone!
Oh, my f***ing God!
Yoshida has tied the game with a two-run homer in the ninth inning. Can you believe it?
Oh, Massa! Second level here at Yankee Stadium.
What the f***?
Crushed.
Great weekend for the Red Sox. Great night on Friday night. Win of the year. I saw Arcan making sure he tweeted about it on Friday night, since he won't be here today. Just Jones and Mego with you on WEEI. That was a rough weekend for the Yankees, rough weekend for Yankee fans. You can jump in here on Jones and Mego, taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Our big question of the day up now at Jones and Mego: how far can the Red Sox get this year? A lot of votes already. World Series, ALCS or DS, wild card, or they're not going anywhere. Right now, the leader is the wild card at 43%. Mego thinks ALDS, which is coupled with ALCS in the answer. That's 26%. Not going anywhere is at 20%. I'm all alone in last place in my pink hat. If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, 12% Red Sox going to the World Series.
Is this like a recorder from first grade?
Yeah, it's a jazz recorder.
Man, did they ever send you home with one of these in elementary school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
My dog would just start crying from the other room. Like, hot cross buns.
Yeah, no, I think, I don't know if that's part of the curriculum or what, but yeah.
What was the point of that?
I have one of those sent home. I don't know. You want to be exposed to.
They want to teach you music, but they don't want to pay for something that would cost money, like every instrument ever, so they get this junky hunk of plastic. Yeah,
exactly.
And go, here you go, kids. Annoy your family.
Exactly.
So stupid.
It's like in gym class. They just, you know, they try to introduce you to something, introduce you to music, and try to get you interested. And I think a lot of you are just getting introduced to the Red Sox. Ironically, you're actually the pink hats out there who are just jumping on the bandwagon with this team. I think a lot of you are just getting introduced to this team. And I told you after the Celtics won, there's an appetite to jump on the bandwagon. And fortunately for the Red Sox, they hit the ground running at the exact right time, Mego. They beat the Phillies in a series. They've beaten the Yankees now twice in a couple of series. They've won 16 out of 22. They're in the postseason, and yet we don't know if they're buying, selling, they're non-committal. Is there a chance that this weekend, And specifically Friday night, the way they won that game was unbelievable. Two outs, two strikes. You're down to your final out, your final strike. Yoshida, of all people, who I would still sell high on and I would still get rid of. Homers off the Yankees all-star closer. And
oh, Clay Holmes, yes.
Next thing you know, they win in extra innings. Sadan Rafaela, who has a monster weekend in New York, gives the Red Sox the win. And you snatch away a loss from the Yankees, and you pull out that victory. Is there a chance this weekend, and specifically Friday night, gets ownership's attention?
I would hope so. I just don't know how tapped into any of this they are. You know, there was a time when it would be a series against
the Yankees. Yankees still resonates with
them? That's what I mean. There was a time when this was like the highlight of the regular season, and that it would be all eyes on this, and Sunday Night Baseball would really matter with Red Sox Yankees, and even the win from last night would be a really big deal, and Devers home runs would be a big deal, and we'd be sitting here talking about to pimp or not to pimp a home run and Verdugo yep. versus Devers. And I just don't know, because it comes down to if you think John Henry can go back to the guy who changes his mind, who gets excited about something and like rediscovers this instead of the PGA or whatever is on his mind right now. Like if this is on the back burner, I'm not sure that him looking at it and going, oh, well, that's fun for the baseball team. If there's anything more than that, that you can do if he's committed to a certain budget and a certain plan.
So I didn't go into the weekend feeling like they could get John Henry's attention. The win on Friday and the weekend has me feeling a little different. It does, because I have to imagine Red Sox-Yankees still resonates, and you just referenced it. It was a kind of a fun weekend for the rivalry, which mostly feels dead. I think it would be relevant in a postseason series, but like regular season Red Sox-Yankees is obviously not what it was. It'll never be 03-04 again. It's not even 2010, okay? But this weekend felt like it had a little bit of juice. Verdugo's such a clown.
Look, it's right after the 4th of July. Everybody's sitting around,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's at their vacation cottage or they're sitting in the backyard grilling dogs and coming in and watching the game.
Verdugo's such a clown. Like that 32 seconds to round the bases for that ass clown is just such a joke. And Devers, it seems like there's a little thing between him and Devers. Devers is gesturing out to right field. He says he's gesturing at the bullpen. I don't see him do that all the time. Sadan Rafaela is reacting after his home run, a la Verdugo. You know, it felt like there was a little bit more to that, honestly, this weekend. But largely, that rivalry feels dead. I just wonder if there's a little bit, just a little bit, that can get John Henry's attention there. And I come out of the weekend feeling a little more open to that than I did going in. You had another good reason, Mego, today. There's another element where I suggested this in the offseason, but it's before any games were played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's before the television program started. I mean, is there a chance Netflix, for a story, they wind up doing something at the deadline? Could that bully them into making a move?
It's so stupid. I think it's the kind of thing that would get John Henry's attention.
Right?
If somebody goes to him, an advisor, and says, you know how this narrative's going to play out, John. You understand how narratives work. You have a newspaper. This is Netflix. It's a much bigger platform than NESN or WEEI. This is something that reaches people worldwide, and it's a part of the brand. You decided to do this and put your brand and your team out there. What's it going to look like when it's episode 4 of the miniseries and the Red Sox are blazing through June and early July and they take it, they steal a series from the Yankees in the Bronx, and then you don't spend on the team? Like, that is extremely dramatic, and Netflix is going to be all over it.
Okay.
You don't own Netflix. They're going to do what they want to do, and they've been following you around everywhere.
We call that a plot twist.
But what they could do, and if I'm Breslow or, you know, text line 37937, I feel like this deadline is where the return of Theo starts to pay dividends. I don't rule that out either.
Save them, Theo.
Okay? But, like, if I'm Theo, or I'm Breslow, if he even cares, or Cora, I would play that up. I'd be like, hey, John, let's give you a nice cushy scene where you're there and Breslow calls you and it's like, hey, I want to make a move. And John Henry's like, whatever you want, Craig. And, you know, like we'll even like put it right in there. We'll feature it. We'll kill this narrative that you won't let the Red Sox. Like, you can do it. You can do it. I don't think that's ridiculous at all. I think the Netflix thing as a backdrop may just pressure the Red Sox into doing it. It's pathetic. They need that.
It's so dumb.
It is dumb.
It's dumb, but if it works, who cares?
Thank you. It's dumb and it's pathetic, but, you know, the Red Sox have been kind of dumb and pathetic now for a while. If it bullies them into making a move, good. Let's get to some phone calls here. A lot of you waiting to weigh in on the big question of the day, the trade deadline, the series that was this weekend. This is Matt Swine in Westminster. Matt, what kind of name is that, Matt Swine? Is that, what is that? Is that Dutch? What is that?
Hello?
Hi, Matt Swine.
Adam Big Dog Jones, how you doing? Yeah, my name's from England, actually.
Okay. It doesn't sound British, but go ahead.
Well, I'm from Boston, so, you know. But yeah, no, I see the Red Sox making it five. If they pick up some pieces, and I think a good pitcher to pick up at the trade deadline would be Oliver Klozoff from the Reds.
Okay. But with the name Matt Swine, probably should have thrown me for a loop. Is there anybody who you want them to target?
Well, that sounds like a good target to me.
Yeah, Oliver Klozoff?
Isn't that what the guys were doing when they had the sticky stuff and they all started tearing their jerseys off?
Right.
Like, what
Scherzer,
happened
yes.
to that trend?
Oliver Klozoff, was a major all-star snub. I agree. Like, I honestly should have been on the...
Problem is, they don't get out of the bullpen, so...
It's a bigger case to be an all-star than Kenley Jansen, and I think it was one of the biggest snubs of all-star weekend. Is there a name you want? Is there a name that you've kind of talked yourself into?
Not really, because I honestly, like, I just don't have such high hopes for a starting pitcher, but I think anybody who can round out the bottom end of your rotation is going to help.
Okay. I saw Scherzer and other impending free agents might be available in Texas, which the text line suggested. I'm not saying Scherzer. The text line suggested an Eovaldi reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea if that's even close to in play. That would take adding payroll, though. Ryan, I know you're going to give me the name. Give me the name.
Well, I saw Bob Nightingale writing about how both Andrew Heaney and Michael Lorenzen, who was a big acquisition.
Not the names I was expecting.
Last year, those guys could be available.
I thought you were going to say Crochet.
Oh, there's no chance the Red Sox would give up what the White Sox should ask for to get a legitimate good starter. There's no chance.
This is
that's
what I'm
happening.
Talking about. I'd be happy if they just fake add a starter.
Yeah, no, me too.
Garrett Crochet would be outstanding. Okay. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, which is why they're not going to go get him.
Okay.
It costs resources.
I need to amend my stance. I say no one's asking to trade Meyer or Roman Anthony or Kyle Teal. Lou is asking for it if you can get somebody like Garrett Crochet. So let's not say no one's asking for that. Let's go to our buddy Jonathan and Randolph. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. Jones, I'm surprised you haven't had Ryan pull up all the audio from the day after the first game of the season when you were on the Red Sox bandwagon.
It's a good idea. I should do that.
We like Ryan. We don't want him to quit.
Yeah, Ryan, get to work on that, would you?
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. I think part of this thing, I think, is just a mistake in that people saying, like, is John Henry paying attention? What if he just doesn't care is the bigger question I have, and doesn't this fit right into like kind of the long-term game plan in that he can keep his payroll, you know, relatively high but manageable? They're in contention. It's exactly what he wants. So why would he care to change much if this is kind of really the perfect situation?
Jonathan, totally fair question. Totally fair question. Let me give you a couple of reasons. Number one, remember what happened last year after the trade deadline? Red Sox Yankees tickets were going for $1, and Dodgers fans took over Lansdowne Street. And so I don't know if he cares as much about fans taking over if they're paying, but when Red Sox Yankees tickets are going for $1, that's money they're relying on. Let me give you another one. Playoff gates. Like, Jeremy Jacobs is obsessed with playoff gates and getting to the first round of the postseason. If they get to the second round, my goodness, what a year it is for the Bruins. I mean, shouldn't John Henry care about that? Like, that should be if he cares about the bottom dollar and getting the most money he can. Aren't playoff gates a great way to make some money? So, like, I think he's detached and doesn't really care, and it's a fair question. But those are a couple of things I can think of that maybe would interest or intrigue him.
You would hope so, but I also am sure that because this is nothing new, that they've been sitting here basically since COVID and crunching the numbers of how much does being in the ALDS, how much does a wild card game, like how much do these things even factor into making up a payroll that is upwards towards $200 million? And they've sat there and said, well, if we can even just get one round or less than that, it doesn't really matter. As long as people, it's a nice night and people go sit in Fenway in August and there's beach balls in the stand,
yeah,
that's enough.
But what are they going to pay more for? You know, like what are you going to pay more for? And what are people going to pay for? People weren't paying for Red Sox Yankees last year. You want them paying for that. You want them paying for playoff tickets. Meanwhile, it's time now on a Monday for our league leaders and Who's Circling the Drain, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. They give a poop about your pipes. I'll do the league leader. Jaron Duran getting to the All-Star game is a great story. A lot of good audio on Sunday Night Baseball for you. We're going to play some of that for you coming up. I think he is symbolic of this Red Sox team, the way they play, the play style. Cora's called him a leader. Great story. He's the league leader.
Okay, well, circling the drain then, on the other side, I just have to say the New York Yankees. I mean, look, they had that game on you on Saturday, but they lost 16 of their last 22, lost another series to the Red Sox at their own home field in the Bronx. Their hitting is just so top-heavy that it just falls off very quickly against even a decent pitching rotation, which the Red Sox are boasting right now. If you add a little bit to that, I'm just not afraid of the Yankees at this point. I know if you go and analyze their Fangraphs odds, that would be that would be something that would make them like puff their chests up, and that would be something that I'm sure that Red Sox ownership would have loved to have those percentages, but that's where I understand why Alex Cora doesn't like looking at those percentages, because it doesn't exactly demonstrate the direction that the team's going in. I'm pretty low on the Yankees right now.
Okay, that's our league leader in Who's Circling the Drain, presented by Drains by James at drainsbyjames.com. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. The text line is saying that was Mathswine Fourier. Is that possible?
Ooh, we should run back the tape.
The text line claims that's Fourier. That didn't sound like Fourier to me.
Every prank call sounds like Fourier.
Yeah, he just has a prank call kind of voice.
Usually he does Chuck, though. Usually he does Chuck from Foxborough.
Mathswine really was a red flag.
Hey, how you doing?
That really was a red flag. Okay, that's Chuck. We'll have to go back and dig through that.
Okay.
But good text.
Well, you guys got me eating McDonald's right now.
Good text at 37937. Let's get into the homegrown All-Stars. Is that a sign that the Red Sox plan is actually working?
No,
that's
it's
next.
Not Fourier, it's Chuck.
Asking the questions that you need answered.
How does this bra work again? Why are there so many clasps?
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Jaren Duran joins us now. Those are conversations that he has just had, and now is out in center field wearing a microphone and the earpiece. Thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on being named an All-Star for the first time. What's that feel like?
It's pretty special, honestly, you know. Called my dad, we both broke down crying.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of hard to focus on that when you got to play the Yankees at night. So I feel like it's always just been ingrained in my in the way I was raised and stuff, to just work hard and never be satisfied. So I feel like I just kind of carry that on my shoulder every single day.
Don't you know that you are a shooting star?
So if you're Tristan Casas and you're out there listening, that's how you shout out your dad on national TV. You don't talk about how he got arrested. bullying you? What was the exact story? I don't remember it anymore. What did he do?
His dad kicked him onto a Little League baseball.
Yeah, that's what
Looney
it was.
Tunes.
Yes, that's what it was. That's how you shout out your father on national TV, Tristan Casas. That was Jaren Duran, mic'd up on Sunday Night Baseball, one of three Red Sox All-Stars. All are homegrown. There was an interesting tangent, and I thought I was the only one who picked up on this. It turns out the whole internet noticed it at the same time last night. And it's Jones and Mego with R. Kent. I'm sorry, without R. Kent, today on WEEI. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. There was a weird digression in the broadcast last night. Passan wrote about it this morning as well. Like, let's give Chaim Bloom a lot of credit for these All-Stars. And, like, these players on the team, which
they're
is
showing Sidon Rafaela and Rafael Devers on camera while
it's
they're
nuts.
Saying
now,
this.
Look, Devers, in fairness, was drafted prior to Dombrowski. I give Dombrowski credit for not trading Devers. He traded Moncada. He traded Kopech. I mean, he traded the whole farm system. That's, like, the one guy he held on to that predated him. I guess him and Benintendi, who he eventually flipped, or was eventually flipped, who traded him. Maybe that was Bloom. But, you know, he held on to Benintendi as well. Maybe that one's more regrettable. But I give him a lot of credit for holding on to Devers, not emptying out the whole farm system. Rafaela, Dombrowski guy. Duran, Dombrowski guy. Hauk, Cutter Crawford, all Dombrowski guys. So the Chaim Bloom weirdness aside, holding on to these guys, paying some of them. Bayo, another Dombrowski guy. Mixed results there. Is their plan starting to come to fruition a little bit? Like, they have some young, homegrown players on the team who, if they're not household names, or at least exciting to watch.
Bayo is the sticking point for me. And I'm higher on Bayo than you are, I think. We haven't checked in since his last performance, which was really good.
It was really good.
And is that enough for you to have faith in him again going forward for the rest of the season? Because I think he'll probably end up the rest of the season like doing okay. I think he might be able to get his ERA around 4. Like, maybe if he got it under 4, I think that would be a hugely successful season for him. And that's the kind of hard example that I would look at and say, like, okay, if you're going to talk about your homegrown players and still wait for the prospects who are in Portland and going to Worcester and then coming here, like, that's the kind of guy that you would point to and go, this kind of investment works because you just paid him. You know, the rest of it, it does still feel a little spotty, a little patched together, and a little bit like, how much credit are we giving to Alex Cora for working some magic with motivating this clubhouse and keeping them in it day to day?
Well, we're going to get to Cora coming up. We'll get to some John Henry comments to the Boston Globe over the weekend as well. We'll start to mix in some thoughts on Whit Grosbeck, the Celtics sale, Jeremy Swayman in arbitration. Not all Red Sox today, but a lot of Red Sox on the show. A couple of texts, 37937, Jones, if the Sox sellers stand pat at the deadline, a lightning bolt needs to hit Fenway and burn the tourist attraction into dust.
That would be a really big bolt.
That would be a big bolt.
We have new room for the new Celtics arena, though.
That is true. That'd good. Cool. That's a nice new area to build that thing. That's true. Another text, 37937. Guys, aren't Breslow and Kennedy just going to say that getting Cassis and Chris Martin healthy are as good as a trade? Probably. You're leaving out Liam Hendricks as well.
Yes!
Expect to hear those names. Pat is in Bristol. Go ahead, Pat.
Pat?
Hi, Jones and Metro. Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you guys virtually every single day, and I've never called up before.
Well, welcome.
So I want to share my take on whether or not the Red Sox owners are going to buy anything. And that is, these owners, they're playing their own version of Moneyball, and it's not about finding the best shot at a title for the lowest cost. It's about spending the right amount of money that maintains a reasonably reliable, profitable operation. So they've done the risk-reward calculation, and it's not satisfactory, given that playoffs, I think according to the data that I saw, the additional revenue from playoffs was about maybe a little over $107 million, which gets whacked up 60-40 in percent of the players.
Yeah, so in other words, Pat, they don't get the full gate. I understand that. But his point is, I think he's right. I think a lot of us feel this way. John Henry looks at it and says, if I lock in the payroll at X and we sell out Fenway Park, the tourist attraction, hopefully the lightning bolt doesn't hit it, fingers crossed, and we're going to make Y. If we put in X, we're going to make Y, and that's good enough for us, and we're happy with that. And if we happen to sneak into the playoffs, great. Great. Then that's gravy on top of it. But we're not going to up the payroll to chase that because the Red Sox fund the PGA Tour, which John Henry made clear over the weekend. They fund the Penguins, Liverpool, Roush Fenway Racing, the Boston Globe. Like, it funds the whole portfolio. So, no, I think he's 100% right. I think that is the situation. But what can shake John Henry, if anything? Hopefully this weekend made some strides.
Netflix.
But, yeah, maybe Netflix. Maybe Theo. I mean, these are little things that I hope, but like, I don't feel great about any of those things happening.
Instead of the lights flashing when Raffy hits a home run now, they should just have the Netflix noise of when you turn on the app and it goes like, ba-dum.
Yeah, right.
Just a reminder.
Just a little subtle reminder to John Henry that there is a television show that would look pretty good if your team did well on it.
There are a lot of cameras around.
That's true.
There are a lot of cameras around.
I mean, they're present for some of our Alex Cora interviews. They are. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Mego. No Arcan today. How far can the Red Sox get this year? World Series, ALCS, ALDS, wild card, or they're not going anywhere, which is still a sizable amount of you voting that way. Continue to vote. Jump in on the phones, and we'll get into Alex Cora, the Red Sox approach with him, more stories, including in John Henry's Boston Globe, written about keeping Alex Cora. We'll also get to John Henry, some comments he had over the weekend that probably tell you where his interest lies. That's next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Asking the questions that you need answered.
How does this bra work again? Why are there so many clasps?
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Jaren Duran joins us now. Those are conversations that he has just had and now is out in center field wearing a microphone and the earpiece. Thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on being named an All-Star for the first time. What's that feel like?
It's pretty special, honestly. You know, called my dad. We both broke down crying.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of hard to focus on that when you got to play the Yankees at night. So I feel like it's always just been ingrained in my in the way I was raised and stuff, to just work hard and never be satisfied. So I feel like I just kind of carry that on my shoulder every single day.
Don't you know that you are a shooting star?
So if you're Tristan Cassis and you're out there listening, that's how you shout out your dad on national TV. You don't talk about how he got arrested. Bullying you? What was the exact story? I don't remember it anymore. What did he do?
His dad kicked him onto a Little League baseball.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yes, that's what it was. That's how you shout out your father on national TV, Tristan Cassis. That was Jaren Durant, mic'd up on Sunday Night Baseball, one of three Red Sox All-Stars, all are homegrown. There was an interesting tangent, and I thought I was the only one who picked up on this. It turns out the whole internet noticed it at the same time last night. And it's Jones and Mego with R. Kent. I'm sorry, without R. Kent. Today on WEEI. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. There was a weird digression in the broadcast last night. Passan wrote about it this morning as well. Like, let's give Chaim Bloom a lot of credit for these All-Stars and, like, these players on the team.
They're
which is
showing Sadon Rafaela and nuts. Rafael Devers on camera while
it's
they're
nuts.
Saying
now,
this.
Look, Devers, in fairness, was drafted prior to Dombrowski. I give Dombrowski credit for not trading Devers. He traded Moncada. He traded Kopech. I mean, he traded the whole farm system. That's like the one guy he held on to that predated him. I guess him and Benintendi, who he eventually flipped or was eventually flipped, who traded him. Maybe that was Bloom. But, you know, he held on to Benintendi as well. Maybe that one's more regrettable. But I give him a lot of credit for holding on to Devers, not emptying out the whole farm system. Rafaela, Dombrowski guy. Duran, Dombrowski guy. Hauk, Cutter Crawford, all Dombrowski guys. So the Chaim Bloom weirdness aside, holding on to these guys, paying some of them, Bayo, another Dombrowski guy, mixed results there. Is their plan starting to come to fruition a little bit? Like, they have some young, homegrown players on the team who, if they're not household names, are at least exciting to watch.
Bayo is the sticking point for me, and I'm higher on Bayo than you are, I think. We haven't checked in since his last performance, which was really good.
It was really good.
And is that enough for you to have faith in him again going forward for the rest of the season? Because I think he'll probably end up the rest of the season, like, doing okay. I think he might be able to get his ERA around 4. Like, maybe if he got it under 4, I think that would be a hugely successful season for him. And that's the kind of hard example that I would look at and say, like, okay, if you're going to talk about your homegrown players and still wait for the prospects to who are in Portland and going to Worcester and then coming here. Like, that's the kind of guy that you would point to and go, this kind of investment works because you just paid him. You know, the rest of it, it does still feel a little spotty, a little patched together, and a little bit like, how much credit are we giving to Alex Cora for working some magic with motivating this clubhouse and keeping them in it day to day?
Well, we're going to get to Cora coming up. We'll get to some John Henry comments to the Boston Globe over the weekend as well. We'll start to mix in some thoughts on Whit Grosbeck, the Celtics sale, Jeremy Swayman in arbitration. Not all Red Sox today, but a lot of Red Sox on the show. A couple of texts, 37937, Jones, if the Sox sell or stand pat at the deadline, a lightning bolt needs to hit Fenway and burn the tourist attraction into dust.
That would be a really big bolt.
That would be a big bolt.
We have new room for the new Celtics arena, though.
That is true. Good. Cool. That's a nice new area to build that thing. That's true. Another text, 37937. Guys, aren't Breslow and Kennedy just going to say that getting Cassis and Chris Martin healthy are as good as a trade? Probably. You're leaving out Liam Hendricks as well.
Yes!
Expect to hear those names. Pat is in Bristol. Go ahead, Pat.
Pat?
Hi, Jones and Matt. Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you guys virtually every single day, and I've never called up before.
Well, welcome.
So I want to share my take on whether or not the Red Sox owners are going to buy anything. And that is, these owners, they're playing their own version of Moneyball, and it's not about finding the best shot at a title for the lowest cost. It's about spending the right amount of money that maintains a reasonably reliable, profitable operation. So they've done the risk-reward calculation, and it's not satisfactory, given that playoffs, I think according to the data that I saw, the additional revenue from playoffs was about maybe a little over $107 million, which gets whacked up 60-40, in percent of the players.
Yeah, so in other words, Pat, they don't get the full gate. I understand that. But his point is, I think he's right. I think a lot of us feel this way. John Henry looks at it and says, if I lock in the payroll at X and we sell out Fenway Park, the tourist attraction, hopefully the lightning bolt doesn't hit it, fingers crossed, and we're going to make Y. If we put in X, we're going to make Y, and that's good enough for us, and we're happy with that. And if we happen to sneak into the playoffs, great. Great. Then that's gravy on top of it. But we're not going to up the payroll to chase that because the Red Sox fund the PGA Tour, which John Henry made clear over the weekend. They fund the Penguins, Liverpool, Roush Fenway Racing, the Boston Globe. Like it funds the whole portfolio. So no, I think he's 100% right. I think that is the situation. But what can shake John Henry, if anything? Hopefully this weekend made some strides.
Netflix.
But, yeah, maybe Netflix. Maybe Theo. I mean, these are little things that I hope, but like I don't feel great about any of those things happening.
Instead of the lights flashing when Rafi hits a home run now, they should just have the Netflix noise of when you turn on the app and it goes like,
bum. Yeah, right, right, right.
Just a reminder.
Just a little subtle reminder to John Henry that there is a television show that would look pretty good if your team did well on it.
There are a lot of cameras around.
It's true.
There are a lot of cameras around.
I mean, they're present for some of our Alex Cora interviews. They are. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Mego. No Arcan today. How far can the Red Sox get this year? World Series, ALCS, ALDS, wild card, or they're not going anywhere, which is still a sizable amount of you voting that way. Continue to vote. Jump in on the phones, and we'll get into Alex Cora, the Red Sox approach with him, more stories, including in John Henry's Boston Globe, written about keeping Alex Cora. We'll also get to John Henry, some comments he had over the weekend that probably tell you where his interest lies. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.